Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Alexis, Hosanna, and Gianna, Layla, and my dear friends in Christ. A few months ago, a movie came out that has the potential to do more damage to the Christian faith than even the heresies that brought about the need to confess the Athanasian Creed. And this movie is based on a book that was published actually a decade ago. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's called The Shack. Now, I'm not going to spend this sermon, because I promised you I was going to try to keep it shorter than my typical ones, criticizing each and every single point of this book. And if we really wanted to tear this apart, it would actually take hours. But I will say that this book is so dangerous to the Christian faith, because it may lead people to believe something about the Holy Trinity that isn't true. Because see, it matters how we think about God. It matters. It matters that we not think of a God who calls himself Papa and shows himself to be a large African-American woman, a Holy Spirit who calls himself Sereyu and is overly interested in the randomness of creation and is a somewhat sort of accurate portrayal, of some like wispy thing out there. And then you've got the kind of sort of looking like Jesus guy. You see, this is the God of the shack. And that's not God. See, our God has revealed himself. And he's revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, we know, can be proven to be risen from the dead. He had been crucified and dead and buried, and it is historical fact, and we can prove it, that he rose from the dead. And he had already promised that this was going to happen. Anything else that he says, you can kind of bet is going to be true. And so he has revealed God to us. And he tells us that the Father invites us to call him Father. And he tells us that Jesus himself, he invites us to call him Lord. And he invites us to call the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Now, these aren't one person, but they are three. And I know that's kind of a strange category for us to think about, but it's true. God is not one person, but three. And yet there are not three gods, but there is only one God. And someday, we might have a clearer picture of this, but I'm not going to promise you that that's true. Because you see, the only thing that could ever understand this fully in all of creation is God himself. We are not given to understand this mystery of God. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. Now, we try. We try to explain this in like the Athanasian Creed, which we're going to say here in a few. But it's hard. What's better is to say what's not true often about God, right? Or what a not true doctrine is. Because then we can kind of figure these things out. If it's not true, then whatever's left has to then be true, right? See, it's hard for us to comprehend something that can be three things and one thing at the same time. Three and one at the same time. I mean, yeah, we got analogies, right? And you've probably heard them. God is like water, right? Where he's solid, liquid, and gas. But that breaks down, doesn't it? Because water can't actually be all three things at the same time. Because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always. Or like St. Patrick's three-leaf clover, right? Which he is legendarily supposed to use to explain the Trinity. You've got three leaves, but it's one clover. Well, the problem is that you've got one leaf that's part of the clover, and one leaf that's part of the clover, and one leaf that's part of the clover. And the Father is not part of God, and the Son is not part of God, and the Spirit is actually not part of God. They're all God. You see, we can't comprehend this. It's too much We've got three persons, one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and yet only still one God. Why do I spend any time on this? I mean, this probably seems very, very dry. I'm not going to lie. I know. I can see eyes starting to glaze over. But this is important. This is so important because this is the triune God who has revealed himself in creation. And this matters because God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the one who has the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit, that name of God was put on you in baptism. And that's why this matters. That specific name was put on you, and only that name. You do not belong to another God. You belong to the God who has revealed himself through Christ. That is your salvation. That name is your identity. And if you go around changing the name, if you change who and what the persons are behind the name or what they do underneath that name, then ultimately you are changing what your baptism is and what it means for you today. You see, Jesus says that this doctrine is important. We talk about sometimes churches have missions or visions, right? Of what they should be doing out in the world. But really the only thing that matters for the church, the only mission and vision that matters is the one that Jesus gave us. And that's the same as it has been throughout all of eternity. We are to make disciples of all nations. And how do we do that? Well, he tells us, first, we baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to teach them to obey all that he commanded. We baptize and teach. And honestly, usually it's in that order, but not always, right? And that's okay. But that's how a disciple is made. Baptism and teaching, and those two always. See, that's what Jesus says to do. And we do it in this triune name of God. By the way, triune name, you guys know, I mean, this is where we get Trinity, right? Tri meaning three, unity meaning one, tri-unity, and that gets shortened down to Trinity. That's where that comes. Three in one. And you won't find that name in the Bible. You won't. You won't find the word Trinity anywhere in there, but that's how God has revealed himself. We try to put a name to it. Ultimately, I think, just to shorten it so we don't always have to say of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We could just say Trinity. And either one is appropriate. Okay? We baptize in the name of this triune God, and we teach all of the doctrines that Jesus gave us to teach. We teach, you can see this. Jesus, what? He taught his disciples, and then he baptizes them with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Day. He taught his disciples. This is fascinating. And then what they do is they teach us. And the apostles do, by the way, continue to teach us. They teach us through his word. They teach us by what Jesus said in the scriptures. They teach us by what God told them to write down. And you know that this is important. You know it is. Because Jesus says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And so when he says something, you better believe that you should be listening to it. Because when you disregard the authority of someone, right? When you don't listen to the police officer who pulls you over for going 60 in a 25, and you say, well, I'm not responsible to you. You can't judge me. What's he going to do? When you don't listen to the principal who tells you, you should listen to me or else, right? When you won't listen to mom or dad, well, you will obey me because I'm your parent, right? Or when you fall asleep during the sermon, you begin to work against the authority that the God of the person that God has placed over you. And honestly, that never goes well for us, does it? So when Jesus demands that we believe these things about the Trinity. When he tells us the name of God, even though it seems mysterious to us, even though it's difficult to believe, we must accept it as true. And you have to believe it because Jesus said so. We can't just go around changing what Jesus taught just because it's strange or it makes us feel uncomfortable, even in the midst of today's zeitgeist, right? Where social mores change literally by the moment. We don't get to change what Jesus says is true. You see, this is what today kind of is all about. Jesus is with us now. Even now. And even forever. And we continue to teach things in his name. Those things that he gave to us to pass on. So today, what did we do? We had two baptisms. We had a remembrance of baptism. We're going to have two young women make confirmation vows. We're going to all celebrate the Lord's Supper together. See, we teach and we do the things that Jesus taught. And he's exclusive in that, isn't he? We are not allowed to teach things that other people have taught in this place. We teach what Jesus taught. There's no other God. There's no other right belief. There is no truth outside of Jesus and what he has taught us about God. And what Jesus taught is ultimately too good for words, although we're going to try. This is what he taught. All the scriptures point to his coming to serve and to save all mankind from their sins. And though many are going to reject him, though many will fall away, the Lord is always near to those who call on him, who call on him in truth. And Jesus taught us that he is the coming promised Messiah and that he would lay down his life in your place. And he taught us that it was our sin that would send him to his death. And he taught us that by his death, and yet his desire to save the lost, though we would kill God, he will forgive our sins. And he taught us that he rose from the dead, never to die again. And he taught us that he is then going to come back to raise from the dead in the same manner all those who believe in him, and they will have eternal life. These things are exclusive. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No competing claim can be made. So you've got Papa and Jesus and Sarayu. They'll not save you, I promise. And Buddha's not going to save you. And science is not going to save you. And pretty words that we speak in a church service are not going to save you. But you will be saved. Because you've been baptized. And you are welcomed into the Lord's family through that. And that's what you will. And many of you have already made. That's what you two are going to confirm in your vows this morning. You're going to promise that this faith is the one that you were baptized into. That this faith is true. And that even though you may not understand it fully now, or that you may not understand it fully ever, because I'm still working on it, right? You're confessing that this is true. You will seek after the things of Christ, even if those things should result in your own deaths. Because you too are going to die. And it may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but you will die. And you may die naturally, or God forbid, you may get hit by a bus on your way out of the parking lot. Or you might be persecuted for your faith and be killed, martyred. Because the church is being martyred today in much stronger numbers than it has ever been martyred in the past. You will die. And you're promising today that what you believe is what we teach, and that you will hold this even under the threat of death. But see, here's the thing, folks. It's true for all of you. Even my little boy is going to die. We prepare you for your death here. We don't fear death here, do we? Because if the Lord is going to raise you from your grave, if you have that promise in your baptism, what can death really do to you? Nothing. Death actually brings to you Jesus because it brings you to Jesus. And that's okay. in faith. There's nothing you have to fear. No heresy, no heretic, no shack is going to keep you from God. Because in this place, we're going to tell you the truth. We're going to tell you about Jesus. Because He is with you forever. And we're going to teach you forever about Him. We're going to teach you about His love for you, His forgiveness of sins for you, and His eternal life for you. And we're going to teach you that too. We are. All of you, we will teach you this. And so I'll say welcome to the family, ladies. Welcome to the family of Christ. You are the family of Christ. You are forgiven and will be raised in His name. And so in Jesus' name, we say amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.